Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our 2019 season primer for the Essendon Bombers. So first off, we'll go through and see what happened to them in 2018 before we figure out what's going to happen to them in 2019. Finished 11th with 12 wins. It's a starting stocky season for Essendon, wasn't it?
A bit, yeah, quite a bit. They had some great run-ons in terms of one and two, three wins in a row, and then just they dropped some easy ones, I think.
I don't know if there was any other team that the gap between their best and their worst was wider. Essendon during 2018.
Yeah, to be honest, based on the last season, that's about what I expected from them. It's just a team that's been rushed together and they're finding their feet now, and especially with a lot of players who are established in other clubs coming in and trying to figure out what their role is in the team. I feel like they have that figured out much better next year, but this year, it's about what I expected from them.
It felt like the first year where they're a new team, they're not the Asada saga.
Yeah.
Team. So that's behind it. That was the one of the positives in it, I thought.
Yeah, I thought they had a few positives, but yeah.
So what were their positives out of 2018?
Well, beating the Crows round one is always a good start to the season.
And look good.
Coming out of the blocks, which obviously played above what the rest of the season would tell them for at least one more game anyway.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's what they needed to get out of the blocks. There's always... Essendon off seasons are always controversial, whether it be at the trade table or whether it be at the coke table.
I think Adelaide had a bit more controversial off season, just to be honest.
And it all hadn't come out at this stage.
Yeah, this is true. So I thought round one, they got off to the right start, especially the way they won as well. Kicked five in a row. They were down, I think it was almost four or five goals going into very late in the third.
Yeah.
Kicked 6-5 to 1-3 in the fourth to win, and that was at Marvel as well.
Yeah.
So obviously it's their home ground, but still you're playing Adelaide, who at this point you had higher expectations for.
I think premiership favourites at that stage.
Yeah.
Adelaide were.
And I think that their best performance for me was actually versus Geelong in round nine. It was a domination from beginning to end. They were never really in doubt, so they ran right on top of them. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. Well, that was the best all-round performance, because I don't think they dropped a quarter. Well, they might have dropped the last quarter by a little bit, but the game was put away by then.
Well, the round nine win, too, was coming after losing to Carlton, which any time you lose to Carlton, you should probably bounce back pretty fucking hard.
Especially Essendon.
Yeah.
They had a big win late in the season at West Coast over there.
Yeah.
When West Coast were just ramping up their run through the premierships. And it was one of those ones you go, all right, if Essendon lose this, the season's done. And they came out and beat them over there, which is pretty amazing. For their other highs of the season, I just put Francis late in the season. Mm. So obviously he's had a bit of issues, and you know he had a bit of a go home factor, and they kept him out of the senior side for a long time. But when he came in, he took nearly mark of the year over at Adelaide Oval, and he looked like, okay, this guy is going to be an absolute gun. All they've got to do is figure out his off field stuff and make sure he's comfortable and wants to stay. I don't know if he's still eligible for the Rising Star this year. But if he was, geez, he'd be a good bet. But also, Saad, after the first month, really started to tick on.
Yeah.
And Devin Smith, obviously, also from GWS, who ended up getting best and fairest in his first year there. That's not a bad effort. That's what you want from your recruits.
I
reckon they should drop the age requirement for Rising Star. Like, if you're able to come into the AFL from the VFL or Waffle or whatever, make an impact, fuck it, you deserve the Rising Star nod.
27-year-old recruit?
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. I don't know where you're getting that. Boomer Harvey's coming back next year.
I did see that.
No, I think there's a lot for that too. I reckon first year on the list. There's the Players Association gives their first year on the list award, which is like that. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're a first year player, you're eligible.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of sensible sense to that as well. Because otherwise, you've got other players that have had 2 years on AFL list without playing a game. Mm. then they're 21 years old going for the Rising Star against an 18-year-old straight out of the Sydney Cup.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just
awards. What's the Rising Star worth to the player?
Oh, it's ten grand or something.
Yeah. You probably get a bit more leverage with your contract, I guess.
Maybe, yeah.
But
well, it's an award, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's something.
Oh, look, there's plenty of players who've played whole careers without getting any awards. So if you're the bloke who's wandering into, I don't know, St Kilda now, and you're a Rising Star award, geez, you're the only bloke with any medal.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're a leadership group.
All right, so they're pretty much the highest, and at the times they looked really good, playing some really good footy. Bill Chambers, I'm lucky not to get a mention there as well. I thought he was really great in patches. They're lows. Now, we've touched on the Carlton loss. It's hard to go lower than that. And one of the most foreseeable upsets I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
Carlton going into the game were 0-7.
Yeah.
And you go, it's Essendon, though.
Exactly. And this is the tough one for me because as a obviously not an Essendon supporter, look at the loss of Carlton, it was almost like a high.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The supporter is the low, but I was like, that's a win.
The Hawthorn supporter in me loved it.
Yeah.
I was watching it and cheering the Blues on all the way, without a doubt. And the way they did it too, I mean, 10 goals, 18.
Yeah.
So clearly they had every opportunity. They could have won that if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And I think what Carlton have 2 wins on the year? 3.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think they had a couple against Gold Coast or something.
Yeah.
So that's not much there.
Yeah. As far as lows for Essendon, it's tough to really pick out one low. Like, because you always anticipated them to have their stumbling points and a lot of difficulties to get over. So it's almost a lesson learned as opposed to just a flat-out low.
It was the year they had to have.
Yeah.
Like I said, is that
after 2 years they had to have.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's the transition from, okay, we're finally putting the whole saga behind us. The other low I had was Danaher. Obviously, coming off, I think he hit 50 goals the year before.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I think us included, predicted this would be the year where he finally becomes really elite marking forward.
Yeah.
And he just could not get going. In the early on in the year, he couldn't get going. And then injuries, I think he missed the last 15 games or something silly like that.
Yeah, and they almost played better without him in the forward line, to be honest.
Well, they had to.
I'll make sure. Choice.
Yeah.
It was his season.
Yeah, he had some great games. Did he had a couple of best on ground? So we just go, mate, where did this come from?
Yeah.
He had some... When he got on in the first quarter, and I forgot which game it was against, and then all of a sudden he's snapping them over his shoulder and you're like, holy fuck, mate.
He seems to be that player, though, isn't he? Like, you go, all right, we'll give him one more year. We need him for cover. And then he does something, you go, I've got to sign him again.
Yeah.
I can't get rid of him.
Yeah.
He just keeps doing what he needs to be done.
If he's the player that's holding up your side, as in he's your backup,
yeah,
you're looking like a pretty good side. Because
yeah.
I think sometimes he seems to be a little bit playing like he's worried he's going to get dropped at halftime.
Oh, and rightly so, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, and sometimes he deserves that sort of call. But other times he's like, holy fuck, mate. When you're on, you're on.
Yeah, he's just that player. He's not quite tall enough to play tall. He's not that quite strong enough to play strong. He's not quite fast enough. But he's just not quite in everything. But effort. He is 100% in effort.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to be said for that, I think. Especially the way that Essendon were going, they needed somebody like that. Just give us something out of the blood.
Yeah.
And I think, too, when that sort of player does get up and have a good game, everyone else lifts. They're like,
yeah,
that's fucking his day, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. If he can have a good day, so can I.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's have a look at 2019 then. They've had quite a few list changes. On the outs, they've said goodbye to Brendan Goddard. This is one of those ones I can understand it from both sides. Like, you could keep him on, but...
Yeah, you have to put up with him.
Yeah. The best was behind him, and his best was very good for Essendon.
Yeah.
You know, he was captain during those lost years for him as well. I still think of Goddard as a St Kilda player, though.
Yeah, me too. Me too. His best years were definitely St Kilda as well, but he came across and was, obviously one of Essendon's best, so he didn't drop form coming across. It's just, you know, opportunities aren't there for him anymore.
Yeah.
And he's also, I know... one of our mates played in a pro-am where he was the pro on the team. So he's definitely got some other work to do off of the field and onto the course.
Yeah.
So he's not going to struggle.
And I liked it.
It'd be like watching Nick Kyrgios play golf.
I liked that they gave him life membership despite him not meeting the minimum thresholds. I think it was the right thing to do.
Because at a time, he was the only bloke that cared about what was happening.
Yeah.
Jackson Merritt, who... biggest achievement was being Zach's brother. So he's gone.
And look, they'll play again in the BFL at some stage, I'm sure. Or the VFA, whatever works.
Josh Green, who was a handy little goal sneak, but with the inclusion of Jake Stringer, really surplus to needs. And really back up for Orazio Fantasia. Or Fantasia, I think I found out that's how you actually meant to pronounce it. But Fantasia just rolls off the tongue easy.
Yeah.
So he was just surplus to needs.
I think it's actually Fantasia, but Disney
filed a strike against it. So Orazio went, no, this Fantasia. Is just easier.
I'm not going against those guys. They fuck you up.
Lewenberger, who actually had a contract, got an extension and went, nah, fuck that, I'm not going through. Pre-season sucks. Probably got some business ventures to go keep himself occupied in.
I think he had the first trial where they're like, all right, 10K run, and he's just run a K and gone,
No. It was the Mal Meninga when he went for that political run. First interview, nah, fuck this, I can't do it.
Yeah, he got to a K and he's like, fuck, nah, boss, nah, I'm done. You leave now, you're not coming back. Yeah, all right.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. That is 100%.
Deal.
Matty D, who was another one of the players they got from the supplementary list during the saga, who whose career was over until they plucked him out and got another good couple of years out of him.
They're not value.
I think this was a mutual decision for them both as well.
Yeah, I thought he was serviceable. I mean, he was never going to get another spot at the Tigers, so we got something out of him.
Yeah.
More than I expected, so...
He did really well. Got a couple of extra years out of his career as well, so he's got to be happy with that. And Trav Collier, who one of my favourite players at Essendon, he's now gone back home west. Unfortunately, his best footy was coming on just before he did his knee. And I know from a few Essendon supporters, they love his run, but his kicking is a 50-metre blast or nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's good.
Well, there's a spot for those players, but, there's lots of players that can do that and something else like tackle or run.
Basher really got a flag out of that. And so did JJ.
But yeah, Basher was a little bit different. He liked to run until he had to kick it rather than kicking it whenever he had an option. But, anyway, Trav got plenty of toe and he kicked a nice 60-metre goal against the Hawks this year. So that's their outs. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 named players. There are other, rookies and whatnot. But that's a lot of depth.
They're
all probably depth players, and none of them were the number one for their position. So there's two ways of looking at that. Is they're clearing out list cloggers, or now you're a bit light on.
Honestly, I think they're a bit light on. Because I think injuries have been an issue for them in the last couple of years. I think they're not trying to have a tilt this year. So I think...
I disagree with that. But we'll keep going.
I think... So what they're doing is getting a bit of space, looking for the players that are going to push their A-listers. But they're not necessarily looking to do it in 2019. They're looking for 2020, 2021, I think.
The reason I say I reckon they're going for a tilt this year is because they're in Dylan Shield. Now, they put everything on trying to get Dylan Shield across the line. By all accounts, I have a little inside knowledge that Essendon were always going to get him. It was never in doubt. But they traded out a lot of early draft picks to get him over. That adds a lot to that midfield that they needed. That's a lot of running, hardball gets.
Yeah.
My criticism of guys like Zach and Dyson Heppel is they are silky outside players. But you throw a Devon Smith and a Dylan Shields in the middle, and you got those two on the outside, that's a good midfield.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm concerned about is you had Devon Smith and Dylan Shield
GWS,
and they had a lot else around them as well, Kelly coming there, etc. And they still didn't make it to a granny.
No, they made it to a prelim, though.
They did.
And they were only 22 years old.
Yeah.
And also... the mileage on Shield's shoulders. He's got that much fucking strapping. As an inside mid, you need a solid body.
And yeah.
If his body holds up, he's going to be fucking spectacular. Exactly. If he gets even that slight niggle in the shoulder, which for an inside mid, your shoulders are your shields.
Yeah.
At the shields. So if he can keep clean and keep safe, he's on. But Essendon, I think, they're on the side of caution these days and not cortisone inject anyone anything unless they absolutely fucking have to.
I think they've gone to crystal healing.
You're not homeopathy.
They go, but this will do absolutely nothing. Yes, we know. That's good.
That's just it. They get caught by a side of like, you have to prove it does something now.
I feel like Essendon's best 22 is up there. It's...
List-wise, in 2019, I reckon they're a top five best 22, and I think in 2021 they'll be top two.
Yeah.
I feel like they probably need a bit more strength in the back line, like, in my opinion. I feel like that's where they really need to improve.
They've got two great key position defenders in Hooker and Hurley.
Yeah.
But Hurley started to show age this year. Exactly. He had some good games. He started to show a little bit of age.
Yeah.
There was that one incident where James Warple for the Hawks did him in a one-on-one and kicked the winning goal.
Yeah.
The ball did definitely favour Warple, but that's a first-year player.
Yeah.
And you're 10 years into your career, you should be pushing him over and running away with him.
You didn't even punch him back in the head after the goal or anything.
No, sure.
Give a second one. Who cares? But I agree with that to a point, but Essendon's backline has sort of been a bit more on the quick side rather than the big side.
Yeah.
Mm. And they're not quite so quick as the list stands.
I can say, until they added Ahmed Saad.
Yeah,
that is the other. Who is quick.
Ridiculously quick. I think he's probably a more... He adds more where they need it than Shield, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. So,
I'm picking Shield first if I'm picking Saad. But for a team that lacks run out of... that depends on run out of back line, and he supplies that and then some...
Yeah,
he is a massive, massive pickup for that squad.
Yeah,
and he's a good, lockdown backman as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of strategy could come down to how well Danaher can perform. Cause he doesn't need to perform well. They've got Fantasia and Stringer around him who can snaffle the goals when it comes to ground. But he has to be present. He has to be up and about every game.
Yeah,
because they don't have another solid tool.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tall forward who pretty much you want to suck the opposition defenders to defending the marking of the tall forward. Oh. And then that's when the smaller kids come through and Jake Stringer comes through and starts snapping over his shoulder.
Well, don't talk about small kids and Jake Stringer.
Yeah.
There's been issues there. But, besides Danaher, who didn't play for the majority of the season, the next best two marking forwards are Bell Chambers, who's a ruckman, and Hooker, who's a fullback.
Yeah.
But a fullback that kicks goals.
Yeah.
So it is a bit of a lacking there. I mean, Stringer can take a good grab, but...
It's not where you want him to be playing, because...
No, you need him further up.
Yeah. I wouldn't call him consistent.
Exactly. That's his biggest thing.
Too. Yeah.
I would sort of say that those guys need space.
Yeah.
Danaher and Bell Chambers, they're not really shoulder to shoulder players.
Oh, I'd disagree with Bell Chambers, but yeah, definitely Danaher.
But then again, there's not that many monster backmen running around these days.
Yeah.
There's a few.
Yeah, not many, you're right.
But generally they rely on pace more than anything else. It used to be that the full back would play more
a wrestling game.
Well, yeah. Or a ruck roll. Like they'd get the mark and they'd handball off.
Yeah.
They're not there to kick it long or run with their player, they'd be like, no, fuck it, I'm going to punch this guy in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And then if the ball comes to ground, you little fuckers get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But having said that, there are a few bigger backmen coming through, like even May. Like, he's one of the big guys that can play with the guys like Joe Danaher and powerbomb them.
The Gorillas, as Clarkson used to call them.
Yeah.
They're fewer nowadays, but now, Bell Chambers is taller than you think, too. He's one of the ones I always thought, he's a bit of an undersized ruckman.
Yeah.
He's got 1 or 2 centimetres on McAvoy. And Goldstein, he's that height. You go, oh shit, I guess he is.
He just seems like a bit of a potato body.
Yeah, I think he's deceptive. I think he's a real late bloomer.
Yeah,
the hard he's part coming is though, to his best now.
As with all AFL footballers, you see him out on the ground, you're like, he's a bit of a potato body, and you see him in the person, and it's like, fuck, this guy's massive.
Yeah, it's even like once I saw Hutchie signing footies at a bloody first choice liquor with Danny Frawley.
And you're like, holy fuck, you're bald.
No, he's taller than you think, Hutchie. He's like 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah, I've seen him a few times.
I bet.
Yeah, loves a punt.
Doesn't he? All right, let's Essendon's 2019, their double-ups. They got the double-up with Collingwood, of course. Frio, GWS, Sydney and North. That's not that easy because all of those teams, except maybe Sydney, definitely not GWS. So three of those teams have got better in the off-season. Yep. In Collingwood, Frio and North.
You'd say all of those teams should be hassling for a top eight.
I mean, the two Sydney teams are probably the weaker two out of that bunch, yeah, which is funny enough.
I do think Sydney matches up very well against Essendon, though.
Sydney have had the wood over them, especially up there. They've won some tight ones that Essendon have lost some. It's probably better off saying than Sydney won them. Mm. A couple of times up there. And Frio is almost the same team as Essendon. They got new recruits, and they could be they could be top four, they could be bottom four. But they're good matchups for Essendon. It puts their fate in their own hands.
Yeah, and I mean, whenever they put their fate in their hands, they fuck it up. So it's good for the rest of us.
It's been that way.
Let's get the popcorn, and we'll have something exciting to watch.
Yeah, to me, the ones that Collingwood double ups.
Anzac Day, of course. And
yeah.
Because that's it's essentially a grand final.
Yeah.
Big revenue style. Maker as well.
Yeah, that's teams. But also, being correct, it was the North ones as well. If they can get 2-0 against North, they're top four. If they drop those two, then you've got to question their list of tactics.
Well,
North aren't in a premiership window, and Essendon should be opening one.
And North would be relying on Essendon a lot too, because the crowds for the Good Friday games haven't been setting records.
No.
So the AFL's obviously responded. They tried St Kilda last year, and it wasn't good. I think the game or the crowd. So they said, right, we'll give you the biggest tenant there is at Marvel Stadium.
Yeah.
Let's fill it. It's a North home game again, isn't it?
Yes.
So
there will be general ad.
Yeah, I reckon that there needs to be 45 there.
Yeah.
And I reckon that with Essendon on the way up, there's every chance they'll get there too.
And if you don't want to go, just buy a ticket. Thumbs up. Watch at home.
Well, we bought a ticket last year. And it cost us $25. I wasn't happy about that.
No.
It's usually only $10 for AFL members, but it was one of those ones where they're allowed to jack up the price. So.
Gouge out a little bit.
I wonder if they'll do it this year. But I imagine they will. Well,
if Essendon's involved,
And North, so.
All right, so who's going to have a big year for him? Who's in for a big year for Essendon?
I really want to say Saad. I think the way the squad's going to be around him, he needs that big year. So they'll be feeding him the ball a lot. He needs to be running and kicking long.
But I think that allows... Oh, this is jacked up there.
You all right?
I think that's allowed Saad to... actually free up a little bit. He's not going to have as... Obviously, you've got Shield coming in. You've got other players that are filling in roles of hard running roles or hard in and under roles, where it allows him to almost play off a half back line, run forward, which, I mean, speed isn't something that they're short of. It's just tall people to kick it contest. To. Yeah.
And especially when he's, I'm going to break lines here, and he's running flat out, you're not going to pinpoint a pass over 45.
Yeah.
If he can, there's a one-on-one in the goal square, I can just bomb it there. And you got Stringer and you got Orazio swimming in underneath.
Yeah.
Or even, what's his name, Irvin Mosquito.
Yeah, the new fella. He's controversial a little.
Nah, not really. Not that controversial. A little bit, yeah. But not really.
So I actually think that a lot of this might actually come down to Bell Chambers. How well he can play, not only in the ruck with having Shiel around him.
Yep.
Also Fantasia, you got Saad. Lots of young running potential, but also when he's going to swap out of the ruck into the forward lines, all he has to do is sit within the 50 and just make contests, and the people are around him to take advantage of that, which leads into what Stringer's game is. Stringer has, for all his flaws, he has an amazing goal sense. Only needs half a step to get a shot off, and pretty on point even over his shoulder.
Yeah, he's pretty keen to get a shot off.
Absolutely, but he's one of those within 60.
Yeah,
he's looking at the goals.
Yeah, and Fantasia is just as good at that as well, if not better.
Within 40, he's only looking at the goals.
Yeah.
It's one of those great. But, I mean, you can say, that's a little bit selfish, and at times they don't choose the right option.
Yeah.
However, it's reliable. Everybody else knows, everybody on the team, that's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to lay a shepherd here, or I'm going to get front and centre of the goal square.
And look, if your job is to kick goals and get those loose balls, you want him to be a bit selfish. That's what he needs to be. You're going to miss some, but shit, obviously, if you don't kick the ones you don't kick.
And especially Fantasia, reliable shot and goal.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him Fantasia all year. Fantasia.
Let's just start the movement. I don't know, maybe it's another story starter, but Fantasia. Yeah. Even if it's wrong. In fact, I hope it's wrong. Let's start everyone calling Fantasia.
I think Stringer has got to have a big year as well. Shields is going to be a lot of eyes on him. Yeah. But I don't know if they're a Danaher or Bust type of side. But I think if they're going to make top four, yeah. Danaher is going to kick 50.
Yeah, I've got a bit cold on Danaher.
Yeah.
I think coming off such a long layoff, for a bloke who relies a lot on touch and the high marks.
Yeah.
And if you're a back and player, the last thing you want to do is be... the guy underneath him on the footy card next year. So you're just going to try and bust him up. I think if they're relying on Danaher, they're going to struggle.
Still reminds me of Goofy.
Yeah. Yep.
Like Ned Flanders and Goofy mixed together. Yeah. Like, it's like a goal. It's like, golly gee, I just kicked a goal.
I think the key with Danaher is how many marks he can take inside 50. Because he does push down on his leads. He's a long leader. A lot of times as a defender, you want him taking marks 55, 60 out. And so I think it's really going to come down to if he can get inside the 50, present as an option, and just make that contest so the other people can clean up.
Sometimes I reckon he's a better shot from 55 than he is from 15.
Yeah, but I just don't think that plays into their game plan.
No.
Because obviously he's taking that shot, you've got to wait for Bill Chambers to get down there to be the tall man there, which allows the opposition team to set up. And I don't think that's really the game they're looking for.
I think the veganism isn't working out for him either.
Looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, just fucking get some steak in your lad.
So who's on the outer? Who's on the chopping block for Essendon? Really though, they cleaned out a lot of their chopping block players.
Yeah, I think they defined. They sort of got rid of a lot of them. None comes to mind immediately.
Yeah,
I'd say all of them are going to get a fair shake. And the only blokes who sort of should be concerned are some of the young lads who may not get a run.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing I thought is if Stringer doesn't have a good season, then he could be on the outer because he's getting older and they've got young kids in who can fill in those spots. But at the moment, you know, there's no reason to expect him to not improve off his last season.
I can't see that happening.
Yeah. What would the pass mark for Stringer, you reckon? Like 30 goals?
I don't even think it's necessarily about goals. I think it's about opportunities. As long as he's getting his hands on it, I'd say he'd probably want at least average of 2-3 goals a game would be fine.
Put him up at 60.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be the common middle.
Yeah, go close. But again, it depends on how many games Danaher plays. If Danaher's playing, then you go, all right, Stringer, I want 20 from you.
Yeah.
You know, whereas Danaher sits on the sidelines all year, you go, Stringer, we need 40.
Yeah. I suppose part of his attitude, too, because you start to look to him as a, not as a pure leadership role, but as a leader on the field, in a way, without Goddard as well.
Yeah.
So if he's his old lackadaisical himself, he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
But maybe he does, but his body language is pretty piss poor around that area. You'd be like, mate, we need more from you. But if he's hungry and aggressive, which in many games he was, you'd accept your 25-goal season.
On the chopping block, I've really only put Hurley and Hooker, and it's just on age, really.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't feel like they've got the next key backman to worry them.
Yeah.
So having them in the best 22 all year is just about a given,
because
they're not keeping anybody else from playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There might be somebody else coming on who's we've never heard of.
Well, you hope so they can actually learn from Hooker and Hurley, who both work together fantastically. It's one of the best backline sort of duos going around.
And even though we said Hooker, was his position was in doubt some of the year, he still come out and had some big games. And I think he dominated Hawkins in one game, I think.
Yeah.
So he's still got it in him.
Yeah.
And the other one I thought of was Jake Long, who's just been on the list for a couple of years now, and obviously son of a legend, and hasn't established himself as best 22. He's probably got one game left at it.
Yeah. So I think for Essendon, I think they've had a very smart pre-season or off-season of clearing out players, and you can see the direction they're heading. And they've got a couple of spots that are really up for grabs, and so you're just waiting to see who's going to jump up to that. And being a big man anywhere on the ground is one of those.
Yeah.
The other one is the sort of the 50% player, where you don't need them in the game all the time. They're not going to be Shields, they're not going to be Fantasia, but you need like that core group who can step up. And like obviously, I can compare it to Richmond, where you've got that forward line young group. So you got obviously for Essendon, you've got Fantasia and Stringer. They need to play as a team and get those young kids involved, because it doesn't have to be an individual who's stepping up every game. You need a team, so that you're obviously putting the opposition strategy into confusion about who they've got to cover each game. And so I think there's real opportunities for young people to step up in that team without risking their position or their future in that club.
I think the ruck rule is going to be very interesting for them as well. Because like I said, I was impressed with Bill Chambers last year, but with Lundberger gone, they don't have a second ruckman yet. They rely on Hooker to take some taps or Danaher to take some taps.
Yeah.
And with the increased importance of having a dominant ruck with the changes, that might work in their favour. And especially if Bill Chambers goes down,
Now
then you're looking at young McKernan, And you go, oh, you're a handy pinch hitter.
Yeah.
But we can't have you going every week against Maxi Gawn.
Yeah, I think there still could be a role for the undersized ruckman, who's just completely defensive-minded.
Sean Greig hopes so.
This is what I'm talking about. But if you're undersized, all you're worrying about is tackling him as soon as he gets the ball. Because the sort of inclination is, when you've got such a clear advantage to get in that ball, isn't to tap it, to grab it. And so if everyone else is playing man-on or playing defensive side of their direct opponent, then it makes it really difficult for them to be able to get a clean grab. And that's when, obviously, there's new rules. So you can send your wingers in off the very corner, still on the wing, and just congest it. And that'll help for the smaller teams who are undersized in the ruck.
Yeah, I think the lack of numbers around is going to really benefit a quality ruckman.
Yeah.
Particularly when we're talking about the grabbing it out of the bounce.
Yeah, well, that's why if you don't have someone who can directly compete, you have to go undersized and just use an extra midfielder.
So where do we see that Essendon finishing in 2019, Brenton?
I see them finishing 11th, is it? 13th?
6th.
I thought it was a B. I've got them finishing 6th. Yeah, I wish I had written notes when I was putting the ladder together about my reasoning for each one went where. A lot of times it is like one of those puzzles that are in a frame and you've got one spare spot.
Yep.
You slide them all around and just figure out how you slot each piece in. But there's lots of people vying for these positions. And basically, from what I remember, it was based on the pickups they've had, who filled not holes that they were sort of trying to fill, but it was people... players who didn't live to their potential, and so you just move on and you try someone else. And the pickups sort of fill those holes.
The last three pickups from the expansion teams being Smith, Sard, and Scheel.
Yeah.
They haven't missed.
Yeah.
You know, Scheel obviously hasn't played a game yet, but we know what
the game is. I'm going to give him a pass.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think this is the maximum that Essendon will achieve, and I think they're very well positioned to get there.
It's been their two best trading periods the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Two best trading periods in the last 20 years have come in the last two. Josh, where are you going?
Well, I don't have any notes for my ladder either, but I did a full season simulation based solely on what I felt December was worth.
You had an hour of spare.
Yeah. and I got on 5th. So I think a lot of their tougher games are at home, and, I mean, the list is quality.
Yeah.
Their tactics tend to be quite adaptable. So some games they seem to be free-flowing and run forward at all costs. Other times they seem to be willing to hold the ball and control pace. So I think they're very well positioned to play that sort of like water style mentality. They'll just adapt to the opposition and see what the opposition doesn't like. Having said that, I don't see them going deep in finals. I think they'll play finals. I don't see them going deep.
Yeah, well, I think that there's always a limit on how far that passive game plan can go.
I've got a 5th as well, and you know, if everything goes right for them in the medical room, they could finish higher. You know, all things being equal, I cannot see them missing finals though. That list is just too strong on too many lines.
If it does, there's questions.
Yeah, if it does, really, you've got to start looking at some players and say, mate, what are you doing here? And and coach.
Yeah.
If they finish, will they? 12 wins and 11th they finished last year.
Yeah.
If they match that this year, you've got to get rid of somebody. That's just not good enough.
Yeah. In previous seasons, 12 wins was enough for a finals berth.
It's just about.
You had a lot of teams scoring fuck all wins. You had Carlton, Brisbane and Gold Coast. Generally, there's only one team that had a shit season.
Yeah. So anyway, I think we've all got them moving up the ladder to
dramatically.
Definitely playing the finals, and it could be even higher for them. So all positive looking for the Essendon Bombers going into season 2019, which is a shame.
Yeah, well, they've got, especially the three marquee games, those are the litmus test for them.
Yeah.
Because they'll be used to playing, like, they'll have Anzac game, Dreamtime at the G, and now the Good Friday game. So three games with pressure, crowd and everything. If they can rise to the occasion and get them, fuck, they're going to be tough.
It's going to be tough, yeah. All right, that'll do us for the Bombers.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.